Welcome to Marseilles, Illinois, located about 80 miles southwest of Chicago. For decades, this sleepy town of about 5,000 people along the banks of the Illinois River was best known as the home of a Nabisco cardboard box manufacturer. But today, people flock to this town and specifically to this site along the raging river to pay homage to service members who have made the ultimate sacrifice. Not in Vietnam or World War II, but in Middle East conflicts such as Iraq, Afghanistan, and numerous other conflicts, some of which don't even have names, dating back decades.
There is nothing else like this in the entire country. We are the only one Middle East conflicts war memorial.
I'm met by Ray Prokaski, president of the Illinois Motorcycle Freedom Run, a key supporter to this privately funded massive monument.
War in Afghanistan, you know, all the different battles we've had, Iraq and whatnot. 9/11 basically kicked this all off.
At the entry point of the memorial, a granite slab etched with the lines, a tribute to heroic service men and service women who sacrificed their lives in Middle East conflicts while keeping America free. Emblems of the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine Corps, and Coast Guard also emblazoned on the slab, U.S. and POW flags, and more than a dozen additional dark-colored slabs with thousands of names etched into the granite.
Right now, there's 15 granite panels. It originally started with 5 granite panels. And as unfortunately we have to add names, we had to add panels. And so we went as far west as we could. Now we are continually going east, which means we actually had to expand the memorial property. Originally it was set up for 13 panels, but now we have expanding to go up to 19 total panels.
How many names?
Right now there's just under 8,000 names.
And who are these people? Where did they serve? When did they serve?
Mainly it's the Middle East and Middle East conflicts. There are some smaller conflicts that would never made it on any kind of memorial because they were so small. We used to go up to the around 1979 Beirut barrack bombing in that era, but we moved all the way back down to 1967 to add on the USS Liberty attacks, which just recently became considered an act of terrorism, so we decided to extend it back to 1967 when that happened.
The memorial originally started about 75 miles away in St. Ann, Illinois, home to the first American soldier killed in the Gulf conflict in 2003. Ryan Beaupree died in a helicopter crash in Kuwait while ferrying British special forces to secure the Iraqi oil fields.
What have the family said to you of some of these names up here?
They are so happy that we've done this and glad that we did this so that their son or daughter may not never be forgotten. So
I can imagine that this is the only place, I mean, outside of their gravesite where their name is probably etched in one form or another.
Yes.
Meeting Ray and I at the memorial, Jill Stevenson, who lives not too far away in Gary, Indiana. Her son's name is on the wall.
I had a couple friends who brought me etchings of my son's name, and I never did it. So when I did, it was powerful to be here, and now I've been here multiple times since November.
Jill's son, Benjamin Kopp, an Army Ranger, was killed 9 years ago in Afghanistan. We look his name up on the computer screen before walking over to the fifth panel.
He's row 56. I generally just let my eyes find him or rely on him to find me. Because that's usually what happens is the names just pop out.
Sure.
I spot the name first and point it out.
There you go. See? Or he'll jump out at you. So there he is. Yeah.
Is it nice to have something tangible like this?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that they're deserving of it. And it also, it shows that although they're names on a wall here, they're not just names on a wall. These are the men and women that have paid the ultimate price for my freedom, for your freedom, for the freedom of every citizen of our great country.
Yeah, can you walk me through the timeline? What happened and when did he serve? And obviously, when did he die?
He joined the military early in his senior year of high school. So he was the property of the military, if you will, before he even graduated. And the reason they do that is that Ben's diploma was his ticket into the Army. His great-grandfather, my grandfather, served in World War II, was his number one influencer. His death followed by 9/11, only 5 months apart, when Ben was 13, sealed his fate. So in the spring of 2009, Ben was on his way to his third deployment. He had done two to Afghanistan, two to Iraq, the third one was to Afghanistan. And it was about halfway through that deployment when he was called forward as a gun team leader to save six of his brothers in arms who were pinned down by Taliban snipers. And in that firefight, he took a bullet to the leg, and that it subsequently led to his death.
Did he talk at all to you? I don't know what your how much you guys were able to talk. I mean, was he scared at all? Was he nervous?
He was for that third deployment. He wasn't in the other two. It was, you know, Rangers especially, you know, they spend all the time that they're not deployed, they're in training, and they can't wait to go out and put their training to use. So they're kind of, you know, have this a little bit of a Rambo mentality, if you will, like, you know, we're going to go out there and kick some butt. He wasn't feeling that on the third deployment. He had some trepidations that he shared with my mother, myself, and a couple of very close friends. He knew they were going somewhere that was going to be uglier than what he had seen before. It was a hot spot, if you will. So I think that, you know, he maybe had a gut feeling about what he was facing.
But Ben's service to America didn't end on the battlefield.
Because of the circumstance of his death, he was actually wounded overseas in Afghanistan, but survived his injuries long enough to make it back to Walter Reed 4 days after he was shot. The next day, the doctors determined that he was brain dead. That brain death enabled him to become an organ donor. He directly saved the lives of those that received his heart, kidneys, and liver. And additionally, enhanced is the term that they use in that community, the lives of about 55 more people with the donation of his bone, skin, and tissue.
Have you had a chance to meet any of those people?
I have. I have. By a very miraculous circumstance, I was able to designate the recipient of his heart. And I've met, she lives right here in suburban Chicago. And I've been able to put my hand on her heart and feel Ben's heart beating on, or marching on, if we want to use the military term.
Do you feel like the public is well educated, or do you think that there's still a long ways to go as far as what the public knows and understands about service and the veterans, and especially those who have been lost?
I think there's a long ways to go. I feel, as silly as it might sound, privileged, if you will, because I'm planted in this community, so I see the support. But in the times when I step outside of this community, I'm a public speaker, I do motivational speaking, and I step outside the boundaries of the military and, you know, into the corporate world or churches or colleges and high schools. And there are college students today, even those that are graduating, that have no idea what 9/11 is. They have no idea. And I think, wow, you know, that's incredible to me. I think that the Joe Q public, if you will, needs to be aware of why we're free, why we have freedom in this country that we do, to have social media accounts and state our opinions about politics and religion and very personal matters. In other countries, that wouldn't happen. And it's those that are willing to make the ultimate sacrifice that ensure that freedom for us.
Jill has learned a lot about her son and herself over the last 9 years.
I firmly believe, and I still do to this day, that it was his purpose. It was what he was meant to do. I didn't see that there would be a purpose for me in all of this. And what began in July of 2009, when Ben, you know, made that ultimate sacrifice, as a purpose for me. And that's to help veterans and to be plugged into this community and to help raise awareness and educate America about what our military families sacrifice. And having these names on the wall is I don't want to say a great way, because that just doesn't sound right. It's a physical means. It's a way to actually see with your eyes the humanity that is given up so we can enjoy our freedom.
Gold Star families like Jill will join members of the Illinois Motorcycle Freedom Run June 16th here in Marseilles to add more names to the memorial in an annual ceremony.